All right, so here's what I was thinking for the call. I know we had a couple people email in issues to look at, so I thought we could look at those. And I had an idea for a little sort of a work, workshop sort of exercise, if folks are open to that. So I was thinking if we could start off with those couple of agenda items, then maybe save at least, why don't we say, at least a half an hour, maybe more, for a conversation on a process level. Tony, remind us what – actually, we could just do them one at a time. I think one involved Catherine, and was the other one Janet?
Yes.
Okay. You want to – well, actually, I can just take it, I suppose. Catherine, do you want to say what your issue was that you want to talk about?
Sure. Well, I have a participant, and which is very nice, and she is – you may remember who my participant is. She's well-versed in the practice, has, sits and understands how to look at process very well. And what I'm finding when I'm facilitating her, of course, conditioning is there second-guessing all the time what I'm doing. And what is kind of coming up is she will begin to speak about what she's seeing from the reading, and she kind of she doesn't pause for me to reflect, and there's no reason for her to do that. But I'm not sure. Sometimes she'll talk in a paragraph or two, and I'll be listening, and she'll talk about one thing that's come up, and then it'll kind of transition over into something else she's seeing related to that. And I don't try to reflect all that. I try to hit the highlights. I'm just not, I guess what's coming up is I'm not sure I'm doing it right. I'm not sure if I should be stopping her more often and saying, let me just make sure I'm following you, such and such and so, and reflecting, or if it's okay. She's not caught in a story. It's not like she's in a story just looping around. She's really talking about process. And I've been just letting her talk, and then at what seems to be an appropriate moment, I'll reflect maybe the highlights or ask a clarifying question or something.
Okay, good. So, thanks, Catherine. So maybe just for the process of our conversation, we can leave out the obvious thing, which is there is no such thing as doing it right, and just go right to what kind of input do people have from their experience of being in a situation like that that people might offer. Melinda?
Well, what I'm hearing is the possibility of a wonderful facilitation practice opportunity, and try a few different things. It sounds like I would certainly be doing what it sounds like you're doing, Catherine, and hitting the highlights. And I might also, at some point, just do a, time out and say, can I reflect you? I might just wait and see what happens. So essentially use it for my own patient practice, using different strategies to see what happens and just to see what it's like to use those for myself.
So, Melinda, what I hear you saying is you would experiment on them, kind of learn how to practice facilitating, just kind of see what different things do.
Yeah, to go ahead and take some, quote, risks and see both what my conditioning is saying about that and also see what happens.
Yeah, that sounds good. Is there more? Okay, great. One thing I forgot to say, I think just to make it simple for our conversation, why don't we, rather than talking, as we're having the conversation about this in this situation and in others like it, rather than talking to Catherine, how about if we just talk to the facilitator? That way I think we can make it easier to be, just kind of talking about our own experience. Who else on that?
Dave, this is Chris.
Chris.
So I really like what Melinda was saying, too, and just one other thing I would add would be if there's an easy place, perhaps, that I've noticed would be if someone is changing kind of changing from one subject to another, that's a really nice place to be able to come in and, you know, hold somebody up and say, hey, so before you move on, let me reflect what you just said, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Seems like a really natural place.
There's just like a little, even if they're not hardly pausing, there's kind of a natural break in the, at least in the topic, that gives you an excuse to come in.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great. Here's Michael.
What I thought of, one thing when I was listening to that is the experience of having someone talk a good deal and be really talking about practice and not in a story like that, and then just reflecting back, and they're kind of going on, and then reflecting back just one or two words or maybe like a sentence, and me having the experience that I caught the whole thing, or that I really, really reflected them, and that they really felt reflected, even though it was I had only reflected like just this tiny little thing, and it just felt like I was there. And so that's something that I've enjoyed doing.
So let me see if I'm with you, Michael. So I think what you're saying is that by coming in with a reflection, even a short one like that, even only a couple of words, it really sends a signal that you're there and you're present to the person you're listening, and that seems helpful to you. And also you enjoy that.
Yeah, I project that they felt heard. And it appeared to have nothing to do with, you know, how much I reflected or anything like that. It was just, so it was, yeah, I think that's it.
All right, cool. Anyone else?
This is Lynette.
Lynette.
Yeah, so, I can identify with that experience. And how I work with that is I look at what's been most meaningful to me in my practice, which is just the presence and the attention of the other person is what has really been what I find most meaningful. And so I just continue to try to stay calm and bring myself back to all I need to do is just be here and be present with this person.
So I you didn't really say this, but kind of implied in that is when that happens, your practice is to not go up into conditioning or be in a conversation with the voices, but knowing how valuable it is to you when someone else is or has been in the past present to you in what's going on with you, you want to offer that to another person. So your practice is to just be present with the person while they're speaking.
Yeah, and when I say that to myself, when I can get there, then it's easy.
It's easy to be present.
If I can let go of the voices, then that's all I'm asking myself to do, just be present.
Yeah, just be present, yeah. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? It takes away all the kind of shoulds and standards and expectations and all that unpleasantness.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else?
Yeah, this is Dan.
Dan.
I was really relating to the whole thing because especially when I'm on the facilitator listening buddy calls and I'm talking to people that I know are very experienced, it's really easy for me to get caught up in conditioning about how I should be doing more or, that I guess the person I'm reflecting, I project all kinds of judgments they can make because I know they're really experienced with practice. And so it's an easier place for me to get caught up in conditioning than when I'm talking to somebody that I project is new to practice who I feel is not going to be applying the standards in my head about practice to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so you project the experienced person is saying to themselves, essentially, you know, why are you interrupting me, you peon? You know, I know more than you do.
For example, or just that I put them in my head. They are in a position to judge me because they know how this works, whereas somebody new might not be. And so it's a richer place for me to practice not doing much and being okay with that.
Yeah, or challenging that and maybe doing more.
Thank you. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this kind of dovetails with what I was looking at with this, which is what happens in a group like that, to me, is just as much for the facilitator as it is for the other person. And so I could imagine saying something like, well, either in that situation or, Dan, like in your reflective listening buddy call, you know, hang on, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in here just so I can get some extra reflecting practice while you're talking, or something just to make it clear that, you know, there's more than one thing going on here. This is not a service to that person, but we're in this together. We're both doing practice. We just happen to be in different roles.
Yeah, thank you.
I think Alex had something.
Yeah, similar to that. The other part about that is I feel like I'm clear that the role that I'm playing as a facilitator is that I'm doing this for my own practice, and part of it involves whenever there are voices that are coming in while I'm sitting there telling me about how it is that I should or shouldn't be doing something, or the ever famous, you know, I finish having a conversation with somebody, I go on to the next person, and I start looking back at the person. Did I say the right thing? You know, did I just destroy their entire day? You know, all that kind of stuff. That is for me to practice with, as much as, you know, doing the reflective listening and everything like that too. And I feel like people, or at least when I'm being facilitated, I feel like if the facilitator is there present, and is more engaged with what it is that I'm saying and listening to what I'm saying, and kind of being in the same groove or the same flow, and isn't very caught up with making sure that they've got every single word that I've said right, I find that for me has been very helpful on the receiving end. And so it's really relaxing because I just can be there and listen to what they're saying. And even if I only get the last bit, I feel like that's part of it. And my job is just to stay in the same flow.
So what I hear you saying is that it's helpful to kind of be in that flow with someone and to be providing your presence and interacting with them.
Yeah. Because from my experience, that is what people will get from having an experience of being facilitated, is that this person is present, actually paying attention to what it is that I'm saying, and is practicing just like I am.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I know from my experience, you know, I identify most with the person in Catherine's group, you know, because I'm one who can talk on and on and on and on and not take any breaks, and I think I'm probably really challenging to facilitate. But whenever anybody comes in and interrupts with a little reflection, I don't mind that at all. I mean, I actually kind of like it, for like you're saying, Alex, I kind of like remembering that I'm not alone in this conversation.
That's exactly right, yeah, that there's somebody there, yeah, because they could just go off like that to the green grocer if they wanted to.
Okay, that's good. Marie.
Yeah, I thought that was a real interesting situation. And, you know, my first thought about it, because I do, in my group, there's people with lots of experience, so I do that kind of facilitation a lot. And so, you know, my first thought was, oh, well, that's easy because you can do all kind of things. You can just reflect anything, and they'll just keep going because they're, you know, nothing, they know what they're doing. And so it's really relaxing at times. But then, however, you know, as I was sitting here thinking about it, where that kind of situation comes up for me is at the monastery, when, especially like at a formal facilitation retreat or something, and I get paired with the monks, and I'm thinking, what's different about that? And it's that I get self-conscious, and it becomes about me, and I get in the way of what I'm doing, and so, you know, and then it's like I can't seem to even reflect well at all. And so, yeah, I just, to me, it's a really interesting place for me to look at, am I making it about me? Have I gone to that real self-conscious place where it's all about me and I've quit being present to the other people?
Yeah, and I hear you saying using projection just to help you kind of stay in that place. That's what conditioning wants to do.
Can you say more?
Yeah. Well, what I heard you saying is you'll project something about someone, like say onto the monk, yeah. And that will trigger that kind of self-consciousness and making it about you. And so it's, you know, that's kind of the what condition's using to sort of try to box you up into that place.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, to look at the projections when I start to get in that place and see what I'm sending out. Instead of just being present to the person, I'm putting covering them up, exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, and like other people have implied, it's a really good practice opportunity, isn't it? Because you get to see, you know, making it about you is probably something you do elsewhere in your life. And so it's really a good, it's kind of good to have that forum to practice with. It's nice and safe, and it really kind of puts it back with, you know, really is for everybody. Is for the facilitator just as much as the person being facilitated. Is there more? Okay. Okay, good. That was excellent. Catherine, any comments?
No, I think that was very helpful. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, good. Tony, what was our other one?
And Janet had asked about, someone in her group had asked about the book, buying the book. Trying to be human,
oh,
and
right.
Then related to that about putting books out. And
okay, Janet, do you want to fill that out for us?
Yeah, there was somebody who had asked about, you know, did I think that they should go out and get the book? And I remembered that in the key, I thought we had decided no, but I wanted to check in with the monastery first, and then. In thinking about that, I was wondering about putting Sherry's books out for people to look at before, after, and I just wanted to get a take on both of those.
Okay.
Some guidance.
Let's see. Well, instead of saying it myself, anybody want to make an answer to that? Either one of those?
Well, this is Karen.
Karen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hi. I have a little lending library of Sherry's books with a little and some of her CDs and things that I have out with a little list. People can check things out and bring them back. I didn't put out Trying to Be Human, although I did while we were reading the key, but now I've kind of taken it out again. But,
yeah, that and, seems right, because that way yeah. We'd be keeping in keeping with what we decided about the key. So that's a nice way to do it, have a little lending library that people can... Actually, I could see it either way. Have a lending library. The other thing is to have examples so people can look through them and see what the books are about. Then they can order them because, of course, that supports the monastery if they're buying from the monastery. So, but either way seems like a really good way to go. Karen, was there more?
Nope, that's it. Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Anything from anyone else on this?
Dave, this is Jan, and I may have missed a call where this was discussed, but am I hearing that while we're reading a particular book or using it for discussion that we're encouraging participants not to purchase that book?
Well, that's what we decided around the key.
Okay.
The idea being that there's no reason to encourage people to be, you know, looking ahead, but that way they can be concentrating on the... you know, what's right in front of us for the week. You know, I don't think we need to particularly do anything about this. I mean, it happened to come up, somebody asked the question in Janet's group, but I don't think we need to make any announcements or anything like that. It doesn't feel like it has that level of importance, but if somebody asks, it seems like that's the official answer.
Okay.
Amy.
The only thing that occurs to me about this that might be a different situation than the key is the key was a text that went straight from cover to cover is all one book, and the Trying to Be Human is more a collection of individual talks, and so I'm not sure if that would change anything about whether or not it made a difference if people had the book.
I don't see a reason why that would change it. Anybody else? Okay. Janet, did that answer the question?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
Oh. Who's that?
Jim. Sorry, Jim.
Oh.
No, this is Janet. Yeah, that answered the question. So it's no to them getting the book, but yes, it's okay to have some books that they can look through so that they can be encouraged to order books.
Yeah, and we would want to present it to that person, not really as a no, but, you know, the encouragement is to just allow the Trying to Be Human book to happen week by week, because they're getting the emails, right, that have the...
Right.
So they get to focus on that reading. But if they want to be reading Sherry's books, that's absolutely great. And here's a bunch of others that you could try.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, good. So folks, up for a little process thing? So here's what I was thinking might be kind of fun to do. We've just started, actually, a little jag here at the monastery, which is, where do you look for information? And I thought that might be fun to look at in terms of facilitation. Even, like, we could do a little exercise maybe where we pause and give people a chance to either consider it or journal, depending on if you've got the stuff with you. But, you know, like, before, during, and after, where do you look for information about what's going on, what you're saying to people, like that? Does that seem right? So let's pause for just a moment, and then what I thought I'll put the next piece in a minute. So just maybe consider that first for just a second. Before, during, after facilitation, where are you looking for information? Okay, is that enough time? Okay, what I thought we could do is a little round robin facilitating, like, well, I think we've done that before in this call, where we have somebody who shares and then somebody who does a little facilitating, and each time that changes with each person. So who would like to start us off sharing?
Actually, Dave?
Yeah.
Danny here. I'm on a cell phone out in the world, and reception is really bad, and people are cutting in and out.
Okay.
Not sure how successful I'll be at facilitating or being facilitated.
Okay, well, if it feels like it's really shaky, then you can just maybe not volunteer. Although, if you want to, you know, give it a try, because if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but it'd be fun to try.
Thanks.
So who'd be willing to start us off?
This is Rebecca. I'll share.
Okay, who's going to facilitate?
Sequoia
will facilitate.
Okay, Rebecca, what are you seeing?
So I'm seeing that where I look to before, during, and after is this real karmic heavy question in my life of am I being helpful? Is this being helpful?
Rebecca, just a moment. You're cutting out, so let me reflect what I heard. That you're looking, you're seeing that before, during, and after a facilitation, you're going to kind of this karmic predisposition that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
And I believe, did you say, am I doing it right?
Am I being helpful?
Am I being helpful?
And as it interaction. And so actually the last conversation was really great in that it dropped in when I think it was said, it's not like we're providing a service or anything. Somebody in me just perked up like, whoa, I'm really assuming that's a posture that I assume quite habitually.
So that we're not performing a service just really popped up for you. And it sounds like there was some relief in hearing that.
Yeah, there was and that's great to acknowledge that. There really was some relief that, like being called back to, this is really about my own practice. And so how that translates into looking for guidance or looking for information is that's the filter. That's the automatic filter that gets put up if I'm not paying really, really close attention.
So the automatic, you cut out again, and would you again just say what the automatic filter is that comes up?
Yeah, is am I being useful or helpful or of service?
So that am I being useful or helpful is the automatic filter that comes up when you're facilitating.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
This is Tony.
Great, Tony. Who wants
I would like to share.
You're going to share?
Yes.
Okay, who wants to facilitate?
This is Michael.
Great, thanks, Michael.
Okay. Oh, just what immediately came up for me is where I often go is how am I doing? Am I present enough? Am I centered enough?
So what comes up is, am I present enough? Am I centered? And it sounds like while you're facilitating, it's how am I doing?
Yeah. It's like before, it's like, am I going to do okay? Am I okay? You know, will I be okay? And then during, there might be some, okay, am I doing okay? And then after, it'd be kind of like, well, did I do okay?
So it's all, you got the past, present, and future of, am I doing okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so beforehand it's, am I going to be okay? Is it going to be okay? And then while you're facilitating, it's, am I doing okay? Is this all right? And then afterwards, it's, did I do okay? How did I do? Was that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes, the conditioning will be specific. It will be like, well, what you just said, that's pretty good. Or, I think you're not being very present. Or, it'll be specific in the moment.
Uh-huh. So it'll be a specific evaluation in the moment from conditioning of how you're doing with your facilitation.
Yeah.
And
so
it sounds
that's
like
really
it's
helpful.
Both, quote, positive and, quote, negative.
Yeah. It makes sense, though, because I have a lot of issues about adequacy, and it makes sense that it would, in my conditioning, that it would take that form.
Uh-huh. So it makes sense in your conditioning that it would take this form because there are a lot of issues around adequacy.
Yeah. So that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Penny. I would share.
Great. Thanks, Penny.
This is Margaret. I would facilitate. Or share, whatever.
Is that Margaret?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks, Margaret.
Can you hear me okay?
So I was looking at the language of where do you look for information, and what came up for me was it doesn't feel so much like I'm looking as that conditioning is providing information. I mean, often when I'm facilitating, it feels like it's more like conditioning interjects information. It's less than I'm looking for information.
So it seems like when you're facilitating, it's more like conditioning is interjecting information.
Hey, Margaret, just so you know, we can barely hear you. I don't know if it's us or you, but if there's a way you could speak more loudly or more directly into the phone, that might help.
Okay, I'll try. Is that better?
That's quite a lot better.
Okay. let's see. So it's more that conditioning is interjecting stuff rather than that you're looking.
Yeah, I mean, I just was interested in, as I heard that word, that it feels like that conditioning doesn't work for me to look. That it's like a commentary that I'll hear in the way that you would just overhear someone suddenly start to talk next to you or something. And so that's kind of one source of information, if you want to call it that. And it's very different from another experience I've had facilitating where in the course of facilitating someone, I lose the connection or I say something that's off base and that's more like it's more like just a feeling or a, ooh, that was off. And that's very different from the kind of commentary that conditioning offers.
So it feels like there's conditioning offering commentary. That's a fairly common experience. And then there's also noticing or awareness of when something feels off or not quite what was expected.
Well, just that I've lost the connection, that I haven't heard very well or or I've said something that just, it's off in terms of really reflecting the person. And it's more like just a feeling of, ooh, you know, that was not on target, or I'm in a different place than the person I'm listening to. And it's more like a feeling awareness than the kind of language that conditioning will offer.
So it's more like a feeling awareness that something is off than it is like when conditioning is offering information.
Yeah. And then the conditioning commentary doesn't happen actually very often during facilitation. It's much more eager to jump in afterwards and with how did I do, you know, that. And reviewing interactions, and you know, I try to get to that no reviews thing as fast as I can. But I do again. It's like, it's not like I don't feel like I walk out of group wanting to look for information. It feels like conditioning is just waiting at the door, and it just I walk. It's almost like I walk into it, and then I have to drop it.
Right. So it's more like conditioning. Well, it's not like you walk out the door.
Yeah, and it'll just sort of insert commentary. All of a sudden, there'll just be a comment about this or that, and I can get caught up in it as a review. But it feels like I don't. It doesn't feel like I go out of group, you know, wanting to look for how I did or what happened. But it's just. It feels like someone suddenly starts talking to me about how it was, and if I can remember quickly, I can drop it. Otherwise, I can get caught up for a while in, ooh, how did that go? But it's very different from that kind of just a sense of being off that feels actually more authentic and helpful.
So the feeling off, when that happens, feels more authentic and helpful than just the comments or conditioning that just you notice or you become aware of. It seems like you weren't looking for that information, but it just comes in.
Yeah.
And you notice it. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey. Who wants to facilitate?
This is Karen. I'll facilitate.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my facilitator buddies' calls, I'm noticing a lot of conditioning coming up around being a nice person. I get information about what that means.
Yeah, so a lot of conditioning coming up around being a nice person, and a lot of information about what that means.
Yeah, and I took note of that, and then I made myself a tape to listen to before so that the focus is not on that conversation.
So you made note of all this, and you made yourself a tape that you can listen to before, and then you won't be listening to that conversation?
Yeah, and it was, so then experimenting with that, I'm getting information from a different place, and I don't know if I can really describe what that other place is, but it's not conditioning what it means and how I have to be a nice, polite person.
Okay, and it's not how you have to be a nice, polite person.
Correct. Yes. So during some of the calls before I was before I made this recording, conditioning is constantly telling me, oh, a nice person doesn't interrupt somebody, or, you know, a nice person doesn't just pause. You have to be engaged to be a nice person. So no matter what I did, there was this commentary about what's nice.
Oh, so you were getting commentary like, oh, a nice person doesn't interrupt, or a nice person doesn't pause. And it was like no matter what you did, you weren't a nice person.
Yeah, exactly. And nice, I think, is just a code word for acceptable, good, lovable person. When the information is coming from outside of conversation, it's actually that all is acceptable. Everything is lovable because I'm there to facilitate this other person.
And I didn't quite hear all that. You're cutting out a little bit for me, but I think you said that nice is sort of the code word for being lovable and acceptable. And and that just being there in facilitation, you're lovable and acceptable.
Yeah, when the information is coming from a different place than that conversation, everything is acceptable.
So when the information is coming from a different place than that conversation, everything's acceptable.
Yeah, and it seems like some things are more helpful or more skillful or something like that, but it's not about my acceptability as a person.
Yeah, so some things might be more skillful or more helpful, but none of it is about your acceptability as a person.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So let me interject something real quick. So something I heard in what Jeffrey was just saying is that there's the information that's coming, and then there's also where the information is coming from. So it's like the content and the process. So it's really helpful to see what the information is, but also helpful to see, so where are we looking to get the information, or where is the information coming from? Like Jeffrey was talking about, it's coming from a conversation and the two different experiences of that, and then when it's not coming from a conversation. So I wanted to throw that in, too, just to make sure that's a part of the conversation. Who'd go next?
This
David,
is Janet.
I'll share. Okay, Janet.
Okay,
we need a facilitator.
I'll either share or facilitate, either one.
Oh, what were you volunteering for?
I was volunteering to share.
Okay, good. A facilitator?
Yes,
I'm going to encourage my fellow monks who haven't participated to make sure they participate tonight, just so you guys know that. Michael.
I was just about to put my hands up. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, it was really interesting because when the question was asked, where do I look for information before, during, and after, I really got a clear image that during was very different than before and after, and I think it was what Dave was just talking about, because it seems that during, I'm so present with what's happening that I'm not engaged in conversation with conditioning. And it just seems like a totally different place than before and after. At least that's been my experience so far.
So it seems like you're getting information from a different place during facilitation than you are before you facilitate and after you facilitate. And you think that you're so present while you're facilitating that there isn't that conversation doesn't have access to you?
I think the conversation doesn't have access to me, yes. I do. It was just when I was looking at it, it was like really clear that the conversation is not happening at that time. You know, there might be little flips of it, little blips of it, and it almost what I noticed, like just you know, recently when I was facilitating. So I would notice that, wow, I'm really not even paying attention, you know, but it wasn't a conversation. It was just like a noticing and then coming back.
Noticing you're not paying attention to the person you're facilitating? Or
Yeah. Like I had just like kind of drifted off and just kind of noticing that and then coming back. Almost like when you're meditating and you notice that you're not there with the breath.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's not the same as the conversation that I have, like, say, before the group, where there it's this conversation where I'm being told all the things I have to worry about. You know, everything I have to take care of, everything I have to worry about, how it's not all going to work out. You know, and I'm in that conversation.
And in this case, you found that your attention had wandered, kind of like in meditation, and that you were able to, or what you did was you noticed that, and returned to the person you were facilitating, and that's a very different experience from having a conversation about it.
Yes. Yeah.
And before facilitation, there's a whole conversation about. I actually just lost what it was about. Was it about kind of what's going to happen and how it's going to go and anticipating?
The
future.
All the things. It's all the logistics. Everything I need to worry about. I wonder how many people will come. How should I set this up? Should I bring more chairs in? Should I da-da-da? You know, it's just like this whole thing, a worry, worry, worry. And it's very different because once I start with the group and facilitating, it's like I just go to a whole different place. And I think that's it, is that there's not a conversation happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
it's the thing of looking to a conversation before group for information, and during group, that's not what's happening.
I didn't follow that.
Well, if I heard you, that you're looking to your attention is on a conversation before the group about things to worry about and things to do and things like that. And during the group, that conversation isn't going on.
Yes. And then after the group, there's the reviewing the interaction. Uh-huh. And so, you know, it's just like it sort of picks up when I'm not so present in what I'm doing. It seems like, yeah, the conditioning can just, like, slide right in there.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
so,
well, let's, like, review everything. And then it's like, oh, my God, no reviews.
So it's like the conversation picks right back up after group ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I found that just fascinating to look at that. So thank you.
Thank you.
David, I think you were volunteering a minute ago, yeah?
Yeah, I was actually. And I'll go ahead and share or reflect, but I was volunteering first to share.
Okay, how about a facilitator? Amy?
Bouncer.
Let's go with Amy, and then we'll go down the list.
Okay, David?
Yeah, so I saw something just before Groupon on this past Thursday night for me that I had never seen before to do with it kind of made it very clear that there is actually a choice for me to look. There's different places that I actually can look for information.
So you saw something new before group this past group, and that's that that there's a choice where you turn to look for information.
Yes, absolutely. And I had never actually, you know, kind of intellectually I understood that, but in terms of having an experience of it, my experience had always been, well, before group, the information I get, the actual content of the information is kind of along the lines of inadequacy. And then the physical sensations kind of match that story. And that was just the way it was.
So before group, the message that you would get would be one of inadequacy and the sensations that would go along with that. And that was the story that that would come up before group.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, so the content of inadequacy and then it wasn't like I didn't know that was coming from conditioned mind, and yet there was still this sense that I was still kind of struggling in it as opposed to seeing another option.
So it wasn't that you didn't know that that was coming from conditioned mind, but that there was still the sense that you were struggling in it as opposed to seeing that there was another option.
Mm-hmm. And so just before group on Thursday night, that very same same story, kind of same physical sensations which get labeled anxiety, were all present. And then all of a sudden, and again, this wasn't so much me looking for new information. I think it was referred to before that, you know, something can, like, just be inserted. But it was the opposite experience in the sense that what dropped in was this sense of basically the voice, actually. And the voice said, no, actually, there's no other place you'd rather be. This is exactly what you want to be doing.
So you had the experience before group on Thursday where this same story of inadequacy started, and this time you had the experience of something dropping in, and it came as a voice that said, no, this is exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, and it was so powerful. It was the first time I had had that as an experience, which to me really, you know, it was like two very, very different sources of information. And as I said to begin with, like it really woke me up to the fact that even though I didn't feel like it was a choice, as I said, it really felt like it just dropped in. Moving forward, I'm very curious to see how it works because it really opened me up to the idea that there is another place I can go to get information about perhaps what is actually so for me, other than conditioned mind.
So it really opened you up to the experience of there being another source for information for what is so for you. And although it felt like it just dropped in, you're curious to see going forward how you can work with this as a choice.
Yeah, yeah, it was, I mean, it was definitely, yeah, I mean, there's really not that much more to say about it. I mean, it was just one of those moments where, you know, kind of the lights got turned on for me, and all of that physical sensation in the body just kind of dissipated when that came in, and then I moved into a place, now that I'm saying this out loud, maybe the physical sensation didn't dissipate so much as it turned from the label of anxiety to the label of excitement. I began to experience excitement.
So as you're talking about it, you're seeing that maybe the sensations didn't dissipate, but that the label changed from anxiety to excitement.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to sit with that to see what actually did occur, but it just... What I was going to say was, once that voice came in, it kind of reassured and said, "No, really, this is exactly where you want to be." Then there is this genuine, like, heart opening excitement for, "Wow, you know, I can't wait for group to start."
So when that voice came in, that said, "No, this is exactly where you want to be," then there was genuine excitement.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that was great to see. Thank you for reflecting.
Thank you.
I think I heard Bob volunteer as the facilitator. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to share? We've got time for one more.
I got John here.
Oh, hey, John, go ahead.
Yeah, this is actually very good to have me think about where I go for my information when I'm doing reflective listening calls.
So it's helpful to think about where you look for information when you're doing your reflective listening calls.
Yeah, and during the call, if I'm paying attention and present, there's nowhere I'm looking for information except the other person.
So during the call, if you're paying attention and being present, there's nowhere you're looking for information.
Except the other person. I'm looking to the other person for the information, for the source, really.
So you're looking to the other person for the information, to the source.
Yeah, yeah. And when I'm starting to feel panic that I can't remember something, or this is going to be long, or there's a keyword that another person says, then conditioned mind comes in, or it's, at least my mind is open for conditioning to come in and try to help me out.
So conditioned mind... comes in, or you could be looking to conditioned mind when that comes up.
Yeah, there's so one of the signals is a sort of a sense of panic or overwhelm in my body, kind of my body experience and my mind experience of I'm being overwhelmed with too much that I'm going to have to reflect back.
So you experience it in your body when you're feeling like you're overwhelmed and there's too much for you to have to reflect back.
Yeah, or the circuits are, the high memory's getting filled up and I don't know what to do, so it's a little bit of panic that kind of sets in.
So it feels like your memory is being filled up and it feels like there's panic that sets in.
Yeah, and so... That's kind of a choice point of where do I go for information on what to do next.
So it's a choice point for where do you look for information for what to do next.
Yeah, and the place usually I go is to just drop it and get back into the present, and my source is the other person's sharing.
So what usually you do is to just drop it and look back to the other person as the source, the person sharing.
Yeah. And sometimes what feels right is, and it feels right, it's not necessarily it's not conditioned mind, but what feels right is to note a couple key words, okay, that person, there's joy, there's unhappiness, there's this, there's that. Remember a few couple keywords and then drop it and go back to just being present for the other person.
So what's helpful is to note a couple or a few keywords that you're hearing and reflect those back and then go back to listen to the person reflecting.
Well, not even reflect those back, just as kind of I'm with the other person, present to the other person, go, oh, these might be some useful keywords to reflect back, note them, and then instead of, and then I have a choice. And so what I'm finding that I do is instead of reviewing those words over and over again, so, oh my gosh, I don't forget them, I just, okay, noted, and then my information, my source is the other person. So it's kind of a very free place to just note the words and then continue listening until it's reflection time.
So it's a very free place to just note those words and just listen until it's time for you to reflect back the person.
Yeah, and sometimes those other things come up and sometimes they don't at all. So what I end up circling back is being kind to myself, noting something if I think it might or may not be important, and then getting off it and just going to the other person is the source of my information.
So what you keep coming back to is noting those words, being kind to yourself, and then just looking to the other person for information.
Right, right. And not have, yeah. And really, because then all the other stuff drops away, the information of adequacy or I'm going to forget or it's going to be wrong, all that drops away into just being there with the other person.
And so what you see is a lot of that other stuff drops away.
Yeah, to just be there for the other person.
Just be there for the other person.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, great. That was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
We're out of time, I believe. Oop, yep, we are. So a couple things before we let you go. One is our next call, it looks like, is at 9 o'clock Pacific time next Saturday. So we'll look forward to talking to you then if you can make it. I wanted to just kind of a personal note, I just express appreciation for the blogs and the people who are submitting to the blogs. They are really inspirational to read, or at least that's how I find them, and I enjoy reading them very much. So I just wanted to thank everybody for that. I really feel like that's working. Anyone else?